Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom.
It's our TOEIC unit.
Oh, I love TOEIC.
Yeah.
Oh, I look forward to it every month.
Of course.
And now my favorite day has arrived. We can talk about the TOEIC test.
So we can score higher when we take the TOEIC test.
I'd like to think I would score perfectly
well,
on that exam.
Well, I hope so.
But boy, it might be embarrassing if I actually were to take that test and not do as well as I think I would.
That would be very humiliating.
It certainly would, but it would probably make our students feel so much happier. Wow, look, our teacher didn't do as well as we did.
It's hard.
Isn't that great?
We knew it was hard. Yeah.
But our job today is to help you take that test and to pass that test with flying colors.
Cool.
Today we are visiting a lab or a laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
This is all about someone who's developing some kinds of plants that are drought resistant, which might be useful for some desert parts of the world where they have difficulty growing food and the world's population is increasing all the time, so we need more and more food all the time. So this is important work, but it needs to be done in a lab.
That's right. We've got two characters this time, Carolyn. This name can also be pronounced Caroline. Depends on the family and what they want. I'm going to say Carolyn. And then the guy's name is Malcolm, which is not a popular American name, but you do find it quite frequently in Great Britain. And since our author, Pat Woods, is British, that's the name he chose.
Yeah, so. I can think of a couple of Malcolms. Malcolm McLaren, a musician from England, and also Malcolm X, the famous civil rights leader from the United States, although he's deceased now. But in any case, that's another subject. We will talk about this conversation between Carolyn and Malcolm today as they're having a little bit of a tour around the lab. So let's go to the lab here, a visit to the lab. We're going to read our entire lesson one time right now.
Thank you for coming all the way to visit my laboratory, Mr. Greggs.
Please, call me Malcolm. I'm interested to see what you're working on in here.
Well, let me show you around. All this equipment is being used for research into drought-resistant crops.
What sort of research are you doing?
We're looking into two principal areas. The first relates to the genetic basis for drought resistance. We're trying to identify exactly which genes are involved in conferring drought resistance in crops.
Is the idea to put these genes in other crops? I don't know much about genetic engineering.
That's a decision for the future. Right now, we just need to increase our knowledge of which genes are responsible for drought resistance. At the moment, all we do is use genetic markers in order to see which genes are transferred from one generation to the next.
I see. What's the other area of research you mentioned?
It's called participatory plant breeding. This allows local farmers to participate in a plant breeding program. We breed some hardier varieties of crops in the lab, but allow the farmers to use them on their own land.
So they get a lot more freedom and can make their own decisions about which crops to use?
That's right. In addition, because they know their weather and soil conditions, they are better qualified to observe the results over time than we are.
How are things progressing?
Slowly, to be honest. We need more funding.
Okay, today we're having a visit to the lab or the laboratory. Of course, a laboratory is a special room or a bunch of rooms that are used for some kind of scientific or technological research. And Caroline is providing the tour, or Carolyn, I guess is how you pronounced it there. So she says, thank you for coming all the way to visit my laboratory, Mr. Greggs. So this is Malcolm Greggs. He has come a long way to visit her laboratory. So, of course, she's being very polite here and welcoming him to the laboratory, but also thanking him for his trouble.
Which is a very polite thing to do with visitors. You want to thank them for coming all the way to either see you or speak to your group or whatever they're there to do. She's very polite. He's interested in seeing what's going on there in her lab. So he probably sounds like he was invited perhaps to take a tour. Carolyn says, oh, Caroline, Carolyn. Carolyn says, let me show you around. So it sounds like she's going to be his tour guide, you could say, in the lab. Usually you have somebody who's higher up who knows about every element of the, I guess, the investigation or the experimentation that's going on. So they can, really give a good tour. If you ask somebody like the secretary to give the tour, she probably can't explain a lot of what's going on in the lab. So Carolyn sounds like she's the head of the place, perhaps. She says all this equipment is being used for research into drought-resistant crops. Equipment, of course, is a non-count noun. You can't put an S on it. And you use it for a lot of different things, like sports equipment might be, if you're a baseball player, might be your ball, your glove, your bats, things like that. Anything that is kept for a specific purpose. Let's see, do I have any equipment at home? I have gym equipment at home.
Exercise equipment, yes.
I have weights.
You could have camping equipment.
Camping equipment.
Or other kinds of sports equipment, office equipment, etc.
Office equipment, yeah.
All sorts
stuff.
Of different collections of tools and devices that help you perform your job. So, yes, indeed, we've got a lot of equipment here. Equipment, you don't put an S on that. Equipment is a non-count noun because there are different kinds of equipment, so it's kind of hard to count them individually. So, indeed, it's being used for research into drought-resistant crops. Resistant here just means things can keep it away. They are not subject to that thing. And drought is when things are really dry and you don't have a lot of rain and things don't grow. So these crops can grow in dry areas. They are drought resistant. Okay. We've got other things that could use resistance, like a shock resistant watch, for example. If you're working out, your watch can take a bunch of jolting around and still work. Or water resistant clothing, for example, if you're going outside. It's not waterproof, it's water resistant. It resists it. It keeps it away, but not 100%.
Yeah. Sometimes the rain's coming down so hard, there's nothing that's going to help. So Malcolm says, what sort of research are you doing? He wants to know what they're doing, what they're looking into. And that's what she responds with. We're looking into. That's what they're researching. They're researching two principal areas. Principal here means main. Two primary areas, two main areas, you could say. The first relates to the genetic basis for drought resistance. If something relates to something else, they have some sort of connection. There's something that puts the two of them together, and they're looking into the genetic basis. Genes are what everything in this world is made up of. We all have our DNA, right?
Yep.
Well, plants do too. And they're looking into the genes within some plants that will help resist drought. So if there's not enough rain, these plants can survive. Resistance, of course, is the noun form of that adjective we just saw, resistant. Resistance is when someone doesn't say they want to do something. I have an example. I have a little niece who is very resistant and shows a lot of resistance towards eating anything besides macaroni and cheese. That's what she wants for every single meal, which isn't good for her health. But resistance is when you oppose or push back on something that you don't want.
You're right, resistance. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the noun form. Resistant is the adjective. And to resist is the verb. So, again, this is the first area of research it relates to or has to do with the genetic basis for drought resistance. In other words, how can we find the genes to resist that drought here?
Yeah.
And Carolyn goes on to say, we're trying to identify exactly which genes are involved in conferring drought resistance in crops. So indeed, they're going to look at the DNA and they're going to look at the genes, and they want to find the exact genes that have to do with conferring drought resistance. Okay, let's talk about some of these words here. We've got identify. That just means to be able to recognize or indicate or establish what something is, to tell what it is. We need to find those genes. We need to locate them. We need to identify them. The ones things that are involved or have something to do with conferring drought resistance. And here we have the verb to confer. That just means to grant or give something, in this case to transmit or to be responsible for, be the thing that causes something.
We should probably mention that confer also has a very popular definition that's used in business quite frequently. If you confer with someone, it means you consult together, you compare your opinions, you carry on a discussion, so you're sharing your ideas. Oh, I need to confer with Dr. Smith. He knows the most about this field. So remember, it's got two different definitions. The one that's being used here just means to give some sort of gift, to help decide or give some sort of power to these plants that they'll be able to resist the drought. Now, Malcolm says, is the idea to put these genes into other plants, other crops? Very interesting, huh? He says, I don't know much about genetic engineering. When you talk about genetic engineering, you're talking about scientists who, and doctors, but mostly scientists, who are able to take one gene and add it or remove it from the DNA of a plant or even a person. It's very interesting.
Yeah, genetic engineering means you're kind of mixing the genes around to produce better crops or better plants or even better animals or people or whatever. Engineering, yeah. Of course, is the science that is involved with designing and building things, in this case to build our genes in a certain way. Genetic engineering, a related term is GM, or genetically modified food. So maybe that's what they're kind of trying to do here, produce some GM crops.
Uh-huh.
Crops are plants that are used for harvesting in large quantities to feed people, like wheat, corn, beans, etc. Well, indeed, that's what Malcolm's question was about. Are you going to put them in other crops? And he does not know much about this, so he's not really an expert. That's why he's talking to Carolyn, because she knows all about this stuff, and she can answer his questions. So, again, his question was, is the idea, are you thinking of putting those genes in other crops? And Carolyn will answer his question. She says, that's a decision for the future. We're not going to think about that right now. We're concerned about something else at the moment.
Yeah, she says we need to increase our knowledge of which genes are responsible for drought resistance. She says at the moment, all we do is use genetic markers in order to see which genes are transferred from one generation to the next. I'm not an expert in genetic engineering. I had to look up genetic marker because I'm not really sure how it's defined.
Okay.
But it's any distinct indicator that you inherit, that you can identify and show that something is related to something else, that you have some sort of relationship. It's kind of technical. You can look it up in Chinese. It's probably a lot clearer to you in your own language.
Yeah.
So they try to use these genetic markers to see which genes are transferred from one generation to the next. If you transfer something to something else, you move it from one thing to another thing. Your job may give you a new assignment and you have to transfer to another office, or maybe even live abroad, so you're transferring out of your domestic office to an international office somewhere. So they're going to look and see which genes are transferred from generation to the next, one generation to the next.
Yeah, sure. You betcha. Right on. You are spot on there. We should also mention that transfer here, or transfer, is often pronounced that way as a verb, the accent on the second syllable, but a lot of people just say transfer for both the noun and the verb.
It's
need to
true.
Transfer some money from one bank account to another. So don't be surprised if you hear people saying transfer for both the noun and the verb.
And it's completely acceptable.
It is. In fact, that's the way I say it. Transfer
Me too.
Is what the dictionary says. So I think, oh, I guess I'm supposed to say it that way. Otherwise, teachers will get mad. Oh, you're not saying it right. Well, that's how we say it in everyday conversation.
Uh-huh.
Transfer. But in any case here, Malcolm says, I see, I understand, I get it, I catch your drift. And he goes on to say, what's the other area of research you mentioned? So remember, she is doing two types of research, research in two principal areas. The
uh-huh.
first one has to do with the genetic basis. basis for drought resistance. So Malcolm remembers that there was a second area. Yeah, what is the other area of research that you mentioned that you talked about?
She says it's called participatory plant breeding. Participatory just means participating. It just sounds more exciting because it's longer, doesn't it? Participatory, it's kind of hard to say. Participatory. So it's participating what these plants are doing together. She says this allows local farmers to participate in a plant breeding program. Instead of just having the scientists in a lab deciding everything, they're smart enough to know that the farmers, they need the farmers' help. Because it's the farmers who actually have more experience knowing their own weather, you know, what the weather's like in their own area, what the soil is like and how the soil will respond with different types of seeds and crops. So participatory plant breeding means they get other people in to participate with their experiments. So if you participate with something or in something, it means you get involved. You're not just sitting watching. You're actually getting in there and doing something. You're getting hands-on experience.
Yes, you do. And she goes on to say, we breed some hardier varieties of crops in the lab, but allow the farmers to use them on their own land. Hardier means hardy, more hardy, which means stronger, able to take punishment and things like that. So they try them in the lab. They breed these better crops in the lab, and then they have the farmers try them out on their own land, on their own farms. And Malcolm kind of asks a question here to confirm whether or not he understands. So they get a lot more freedom and can make their own decisions about which crops to use? In other words, yeah, can the farmers do those things?
Sure. She says, yeah, that's right. In addition, or besides all of that that they've just talked about, they know their weather, they know their soil conditions, they're better qualified to observe the results over time than we are. Farmers are pretty smart about the crops they grow. If you're qualified, it means you have some training, some knowledge, some experience. Maybe you're even a master at what you do. But you have to have some background in a particular field to be qualified. Maybe you do need a degree. Maybe you don't. Maybe you just need some work experience. But these farmers are better qualified to observe the results as they watch the crops grow over time. Now, Malcolm says, how are things progressing? And sadly, Carolyn says, very slowly, to be honest. They need more funding, which means they need more cash.
Maybe Malcolm can provide that cash. Maybe that's why he's there visiting the lab as a possible investor. We'll have to find out later, but right now we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back with some extra dialogues and a discussion question.
Hi everyone, my name is Jenny. 今天我们看的是第七单元。好，这个对话内容呢，跟一个地方叫 lab 有关。什么叫 lab？ 其实 lab 这是一个 shortened form， 它原来的 full form 整个的字是 laboratory， 这也就是这个对话里面第一句里面的 visit my laboratory。这个单字。好，当然我们今天听到 lab 的时候，它指的就是实验室，也是大家最常用的这样子的简化的说法。好，现在我们来看这个对话内容咯。好，这个对话里面他问到，我来这里要看看你们这里到底在研究什么。I'm interested to see what you're working on in here. 我们先看，当然 what引导出来的这个部分，它其实这个名词子句就是当作 see 的受词，想看看什么，你们到底在研究的东西是什么。不过还有一个要注意的，就是后面的 in here。 我们知道一般来说 here there 这种地方副词不需要加介系词的，但是你会用 in here， 当然意思就是指的这个实验室里头，当你含义上是表示在这个空间里头，那你可以加一个 in。 以这边为例，就是强调在 lab 里面。好，我们再来往下，下面呢这个 Caroline 她就要带她来参观。那说到这些研究设备，它是用来做什么的呢？好，看到这句话 All this equipment is being used for research into drought-resistant crops. 好，这个地方的 all this equipment, 我们注意到 equipment 这个字它代表设备，但是我们很多人常常会误用，以为 equipment 是一个可数名词，其实不然， equipment 它是一个不可数的集合名词，所以它是当单数来用的。那不管你有一件、两件、三件，很多的设备，你要把它当作是一个集合名词单数来用，所以这也就是为什么后面的动词是 is。 好，那 is 后面写到 being， 我们看到为什么会有 being， 因为这个地方当然前面的 is跟后面这个 used 就告诉你是被动，不过现在在这里正在被用的，那就是表示进行再加被动。好，那还有第三个重点，就是提到 research， 当然是研究，而 research 后面如果加了个 into， 那往往就有含有那种彻底的意思，就是你彻底的要做研究的是什么？要彻底研究的是后面谈到的 drought resistant crops， 中文把它翻成抗旱作物。好，那今天的这个对话主题当然就是谈到说他们的领域啊，其实在研究抗旱作物呢，它有两个领域。 Caroline 的解释里面就告诉你，第一个领域呢是跟抗旱的遗传基础有关系，而这个也就是他们想要去确认是哪一些基因，然后让这个作物它有抗旱性。好，我们要看到一个比较少见的动词，也是比较学术的动词，就是 confer。 confer 这里注意到它加 RRING， 因为这个字的字尾是重复 R 再加 ING 的。好，再来第二点， confer 它的本身的含义就代表 give、bestow、grant， 也是赋予、给予，不过这个字还算是蛮正式的字哦。好，我们再来往下，当然这是 Caroline 他在介绍他们的研究领域的部分。 Malcolm 他有问题，他其实对于遗传工程不是那么的理解。好，那所以 Caroline 他继续解释说，基本上呢他现在要做的是哪一个部分，他是要知道有哪些基因造成抗旱性。那目前为止 at the moment， 至少就现在来说， all we do is use genetic markers in order to see which genes are transferred from one generation to the next。 这个句子里头要注意到的是 all we do is再加动词，因为我们晓得在英文里面，我们中文相对于中文里面说的，哎，你整天做的就是什么，我们做的就是什么， all we do is， 哎，后面要接的其实是一个省略的不定词符号 to 的一个原动，所以你会看到这个句构上 is 后面这个原形动词 use。那整个意思当然就是我们做的其实就是只是要用遗传标志来看看哪些基因会从一代然后转移到下一代。好，再来我们往下面，下面呢Caroline 他又继续提到他的第二个研究领域，这个第二个研究领域叫做 participatory plant breeding。 我们知道这个 participatory 这个字看起来很长，但是你往下读，下面有一个 participate， 大家都知道这个代表参与，所以 participatory 只是它的形容词。我们提到这个方面叫参与式作物育种，这是他们第二个研究领域。那他也解释了他的主要目的，就是要让当地的农民他能够参与这个作物育种的计划。所以说他们在实验室里面呢，他提到他们培养到了有一些 hardier varieties， hardier 指的就是比较耐寒的作物品种，然后呢让农民去决定他们要不要用这些作物来种在土地上。好，最后当然 Caroline 的解释里面他也提到为什么要让农民参与，因为他觉得农民他们比较了解，所以 自己的这个土壤的状况，了解天气的状况。那所以说是 better qualified， 这个 better qualified 意思就是更有条件，更有资格，比这些在实验室里面的科学家来说是更有资格的。好，我们今天的解释到这边为止，我们下次见。
It's time for some extra dialogues. Yay! More conversations similar to the ones in today's featured conversation between Carolyn and Malcolm. So maybe Malcolm is asking Carolyn some more questions, so I'll be A here. What is one quality of drought-resistant crops?
Well, the crops mature earlier, meaning they need less water than other varieties. Sounds like they don't take as long to grow. If a crop or some sort of plant matures, it just means it's fully grown at that point. Sometimes when they pick apples or oranges off trees, they're not fully mature, especially tomatoes. You know, they're green and then they turn red as they mature. Well, that's just what that means. As these plants are fully grown, this type of seed they're using or this type of plant that they're genetically engineering, they grow faster.
They grow faster and they don't need so much water as a result.
Which is great. I know.
That's great. So they are useful for arid regions of the world.
The desert. Arid means there's just no water, right?
Yeah. Dry regions like deserts. And here's another question. What exactly is a genetic marker?
Well, I talked about that, Tom. Here's the answer here. It's an area of DNA that has been mapped out and can be easily located and identified. That's how we learn things. You know, I remember Michelangelo. He was one of the first people ever to cut open a body and then draw what he saw inside. That's how we knew where the heart was and the lungs and things like that. Well, that's what they're doing with DNA. As they discover new things, they're actually writing things down and making a map of how things work with each other.
Mm-hmm, to map, that's being used as a verb there.
Uh-huh.
And here's another question. Can you put together a funding proposal for me?
Of course. I'll send it to you by the end of the week. I think Tom's right in guessing that Malcolm is a potential investor. Hmm. So if you have a funding proposal, it just means somebody puts together on paper how they're going to pay for a particular project. And here Malcolm might be willing to invest in this this experimentation that they're doing, because if it works, they could make a lot of money.
And they could be rich and retire and buy a condominium in California. Okay, that brings us to the end of our dialogue, sir, but we've still got a discussion question to get to, so let's get to it. I think I'll ask this question to you, Stephanie, and you can answer it, and maybe I can add some pointers to that or add some information. But here we go. Why is it important to have drought-resistant crops?
Well, I think we've seen how important it is because the last year we had a lot of drought around the world.
We did.
California was really having a hard time with drought. They finally got some rain, so they're okay. We seem to change up. I know Texas this year is having too much rain, so you never know what the earth is going to give you. But I grew up in a desert area, and it would be nice if we didn't have to use so much water because it's very expensive.
Wouldn't it be nice to grow crops in the desert and not use a lot of water? So, yes, that's why it is important to have those drought-resistant crops, because of the weather patterns and things like that. But also, it's good. Probably it would give job opportunities to farmers in parts of the world that they don't normally have. They could actually grow maybe corn in the Sahara Desert. Imagine that. Maybe some genetic engineering will come up with some plants that can resist any kind of calamity or disaster that Mother Nature can throw at us. Well, that brings us to the end of our discussion for today. Thank you for joining us, and make sure you join us again next time when we actually read that budget proposal. Until then, from all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.